You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, lift, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
The media has played on the emotions of the Americans over the last year. And you guys, like, no offense, like, they buy into it so easily. And you're so Americans, and I have a lot of American friends that I grew up with, are so absent-minded towards what's going on in the rest of the world. And they're only stuck in their town or their state, if that.
Grandiose narcissists do not leave unless they leave a storm. Even in a relationship, narcissists will leave you, but they will leave you dumbfounded. They will leave you detached. They will like ruin your whole life and then they leave.
I have an issue not with him and his taxes. I do have an issue with the system that allows such loopholes. If an average senior citizen, for example, with like Medicare income is paying $4,000 and they can't write off their prescription, what is the tax code that we have as a system that allows the write-off for here?
All this and more in today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of The Project, and I'm going to kick this one off with a great song. It's called It's a Grand Old Flag, It's a High-Flying Flag, and forever in peace may it wave. You're the emblem of the land I love, the home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true for the red, white, and blue. And what do you guys say about this year's election? Because you two are American citizens, and it's either Trump or Biden. Or the monkey that is in the zoo.
Oh, I will never vote for Trump. Are you serious?
Even though he has corona? Arzu, you're HR. Wait, hold on. Let's look at this objectively. Arzu, you're HR. You're HR. His performance, okay, I'm in performance management. I got to give the guy some credit. Like, his performance has been good financially for the United States.
It's awful.
Politically, he's destroyed it.
Like, honestly, to be fair, yes, financially, he's done well. I would say more for Wall Street than Main Street.
Yeah, but, exactly.
He's financially savvy. You know, I would give him that. I don't think he was very good with corona.
Did you see he's broke? He's $400 million in debt. Of course, I would be savvy too. I mean, come on. I'm so sick and tired of people saying he's a good businessman. He can't be that good of a businessman.
I didn't say that. He's a good businessman.
Manage his own business.
He did good for numbers. Like, he did good for...
Well, he inflated something. Stock market.
No, but stock market, he did good for the Wall Street. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, not his personal finances because, well, you know, I'm not in his pocket. You know, I think for finance, it was good. My issue with him was for... Corona, I wasn't happy because I think like we were very reactive, not very proactive. So that was something that I did not like. And I mean, we have the highest number of people dead. And the problem is that it's not just the corona that's killing people. The problem is if you look at it by HR way, it's like access. Not every organization offers insurance. And a lot of people that are dying are the people that have other existing conditions because they don't have access to adequate healthcare.
Yeah.
Right. Corona is a deadly disease, but it's deadlier in the US. And that's for other issues that, you know, unfortunately, none of the politicians are really addressing it. It's like, you know, everybody has a plan, but I'm just dying to know when the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the reason why I didn't. And you know, the reason why I didn't vote for him. Yes, he was doing well with our stocks.
But ooh, wait, you can't say that. You can't say you didn't vote for him. You're not supposed to give out that information.
Well, I can give up that information. I ain't voting for him.
You can't endorse someone on the show.
I'm not endorsing either one. But to be honest, it's the lie that has killed me.
I like Biden. Look, no, I like Biden. I have to say, I do like Biden. Biden is straight up.
I mean, I like Biden but I don't like some of his philosophy. But I would rather have him than have someone that constantly lies. How can you go on record recording yourself, which you knew you were being recorded, and then say that this is a deadly virus, this is when I made my decision.
Hold on, I hate to cut you off, but wait a minute. He said about the head of the CDC, who said we will not have a vaccine till midsummer next year. He goes, well, I don't know, the head of the CDC is mistaken. The guy's straight up the head of the CDC.
And did you say he's probably doesn't know that what we have in plan. How could he not? I mean, come on. How many turnovers did he have? How many people have left him? But forget about that. For me, personally, How could you go on record in February saying that you just got off the phone from China? They said it's deadly. They said this. They said that. I think it's this. And then 2 days later, do a press release and say, oh, you know, this is nothing. We only had 8 cases. We have it under control. Don't worry. No, no. And for a president that says he doesn't like to panic people because of Corona, he doesn't do anything but panic people. He's constantly throwing things out there that makes people panic. Like his conspiracy theories about many things. I don't get it. Do you want to panic us or do you not want to panic us? Look, he might be good with our Wall Street, but right now we're high number of unemployment. He's going to take away our insurance. Forget it. I'm not going to vote for him. I don't know what other Americans want to do.
Hold on. Let's look at the psychology of it. Okay. Let's look at the psychology. He is a psychological genius.
No, he's not. Really, he's a narcissist.
No, he is. He has convinced majority of Americans to vote for him. All right, he has convinced
people. No, minority.
People.
They're a minority.
Dr. D.
No, they're a
Dr.
minority,
D.
Yes.
I want to say something, though. I want to interrupt.
No, they're a minority.
Last time, he won on the minority vote. They all went out and voted.
No,
else
that
did.
Was a majority.
He's smart.
No,
okay.
Right.
He's a marketing genius.
Right now,
the majority
he has
of
the minority
electoral
votes.
College. He won the majority of the electoral college.
That's
but,
right.
You know, for the sake of discourse and to, like, strip emotion from it, okay? Like, you know, to have, for the sake of discussion, to kind of, you know, divorce the emotions out of it. I think had Corona not happened, he would have been reelected.
100%, yeah. 100%.
You know,
yeah.
With the slide, because, you know, people were financially well off. And regardless of, like, the ideological differences, people vote for their ability to go to the supermarket and get as much food as they want.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Had Corona not happened, I would think that he would have been, like, voted in very easily. However, I think what Corona exposed was the lack of ability to crisis manage
crisis,
on his behalf.
Yes.
Like,
which,
you know, and like,
exactly.
You know, we don't just need presidents to do financially well. And my beef was that, you know, we need to have crisis management because, I mean, you never know what will happen. The reason it's a crisis is because it's unexpected.
And you would think we need a president that knows how. This proved to me, I mean, I didn't vote for him before either, but for me, because I'm a psychologist and I could tell he's a narcissist, and I do not like narcissists.
He's
but,
incredibly narcissistic.
I mean, he's, oh my God, he's like the classical grandiose. And you know what? If it's not because he's sick now, and maybe his immune system will be down, not grandiose narcissists do not leave unless they leave a storm. Even in a relationship, narcissists will leave you, but they will leave you dumbfounded. They will leave you detached. They will, like, ruin your whole life and then they leave.
If he has it, Pence has it. If him and Pence both have it, it goes to the Speaker of the House, who's what, Nancy Pelosi? So, look, either way, America's screwed right now.
I was just hearing something interesting, that there was this guest on this political show that was saying that technically speaking, yes, but Mike Pompeo, as the Secretary of State, can challenge Pelosi to see who's going to take the presidency.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you know, we're talking about this in a nonchalant format, but, like, I'm actually terrified. You know, it's just this
if Pompeo
is,
died, oh my
no,
God.
But I,
no, but like,
no,
I heard, like,
he's not going to die.
I'm just like the terrified of the process. I'm not like person terrified. Look, I think the good thing about the US, it has systems that regardless of who takes over, the variation isn't significant. I mean, it is in terms of rhetoric, but deep down, like if you look at your life, for example, under different administrations, I think, you know, your life goes on. It's just like you're richer or maybe better off, or your taxes go a little bit higher and lower. But that is not the thing that frightens me. What frightens me is actually this confusion. I don't remember of the time that this has happened. And I like to read. I don't remember a time that both president and the vice president were incapacitated. And then people had to kind of fight it out. It sounds kind of like
it's
too good
lies.
To be true. And it's frightening to me. The prospect of it is scary, not for persons to take over. It's just, I just don't want to even think about it.
I mean, how can you go on TV and say something about this person or tweet about them and then later on say, well, I don't know who the boys are. I don't know who this are. I don't know. How many times can you get caught? I mean, and I love the way the media plays him. Like, they'll show a segment where he tweeted or said something really great for this person because they were feeding into his grandiose ego. And then later on, when they don't have anything to do with him, they're like, I don't know. I've never heard of this person. I don't know. And then there'll be like pictures. It's the same thing as that, like, you know, that porn star he was with. I don't know her. I've never been with her. There's like a picture with him. I come on.
Okay. I you know, I was going to say something, but then we're on live.
No, you're right. No, you're right. It's not live. It's like, yo, you can say whatever you want. We're totally free. Like,
no, I was going to say, maybe he wasn't in a position to see her face. I mean,
That is by far the best thing I've heard all year. That is the funniest thing I have heard all year.
I would just say, giving him a benefit of the doubt, it could not be in a facial connection.
But the idea is that, look, you're right. I think if the corona wouldn't have happened, but the idea is that, okay, like own up, but it's so narcissist, like own up. Just say I made a mistake. But you know, narcissists never say they're sorry. It's just like the debate.
I was just going to say, what about the debate? What did you guys think of that?
I couldn't believe the debate.
I hated the debate.
Arzu, since you're the guest, you could give your opinion first on how bad the debate was and what your opinion was. Then Dr. D, and then it's my turn. I'll sum it up.
I kind of subtract my emotions from the whole process. And that's my decision-making pattern anyway for business, for work, and, you know, for politics. My likes and dislikes go aside, and I do follow issues. And believe it or not, sometimes I actually write to the candidate and I ask them, what is your position on this and that and that? So debates are actually a very good way to kind of compare and contrast what they're doing. And like, there is a reason there are three debates, because there is on foreign policy, there is on national policy, and there is on economics. So what I learned from the debate was...
yeah, exactly. Two children screaming, but one of them tantruming like a kid. And the idea is that, okay, I hadn't voted by then. I mean, so there was a little chance of where, you know, okay, he could have like explained. I was just waiting for him to say, apologize and say, look, maybe I should have handled this better. No, I did an A job on this, you know. And then the idea is that asking Biden things that a president should be answering, and Biden is saying, well, you're the president. Like, I don't get it. Like, really, seriously, sometimes he makes comments like, when I'm in office in the next 4 years, I'm going to be doing. Well, you are in office. That's the point.
I found that to be kind of confusing, too. And I think it's confusing for the voters because in a way, I don't know, like psychologically, I'm actually kind of baffled that he does say those things. Like, oh, Biden didn't make a mask policy. Well, he is not the president under what, you know, I mean, if you take a look at it right now, Biden has as much ability to pass policy as you and I. Yeah. He's not in a capacity to make any policy. I mean, you know, he's a retired vice president. Why are you capitulating, you know, kind of like he didn't do it? Well, he isn't in the position to do it. And why are you elevating him? Like psychologically, I don't understand. Why are you elevating him to a position that you think he ought to be doing? I don't
know. You know why? Because Trump is very good at deflecting on things and not answering. So the only way to distract you is by saying, well, Biden didn't do this. So that way he doesn't have to answer the question. This is why he was making this chaotic, like kind of tantruming, because he doesn't want to answer. Like when he was asked about Corona and the 200,000 people all over dying, he didn't have an answer. So he kind of like puts it back and he uses Biden as a scapegoat or like the far left. And I don't know, he throws all these terminology and things that.
But
to get
can I tell
confused.
You guys something? Between 2016 and 2020, I have learned of so many organizations that I did not know they existed.
Yeah, that's right.
I had never heard of these organizations in my life. I was just like the terms that come to be, I'm just like, who are all these people? And like, sometimes I kind of feel like, where the hell have I been? You know, why don't I know any of these people? I've been in school for too long, you know? If this is going to be the style,
what's it needed? I'm not going to watch anymore.
Did you understand anything from the debate?
Honestly, looking at it from a Kuwaiti perspective and seeing that as a debate, it is an absolute disgrace for the American people. I think it's a disgrace for the world because everyone looks to the United States as being the world leader in everything. And I think the worst part for me was learning that Joe Biden had a stutter afterwards and hearing that he had a stutter. And that Trump, that son of a bitch, took advantage of that fact and cut him off every single time. And the fact that he went personal on him really pissed me off, that he was attacking his sons. That's bullshit. Like, that's horrible.
When politicians do this, I really dislike it because I think when two people are running for president, particularly if the issue is concerning their adult children, it should be left out of it because they're not involved. okay, if it's like themselves, their spouses, someone that is immediately affecting the presidency, I do understand. But I don't like the fact that, you know, name calling other people's children. You know, I have kids, and if I have problems with people, it's got nothing to do with my kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's just like there are some things you leave alone. Look, I had an issue with this even in previous elections. Like, I remember because, you know, when Kerry and Bush were running against each other, and this was in 2004, and John Kerry called out Dick Cheney and say, you know, I'm for gay rights, like for people like your kid, pointing a finger at Dick Cheney's daughter. And I just thought that was also in very poor taste. Like, why is it relevant? Yeah. Why is another person's adult child's sexuality relevant to the debate?
Why is their personal life? Do you guys remember Henry Kane? Okay, I think he ran either before Obama or he ran when Obama was running. Henry Kane, I was a huge fan of. And then they started airing all of his dirty laundry on affairs and whatever else. And I was just like, dude, that's shitty. You know, like, that doesn't dismiss the fact that he can probably do the job well. Look at Clinton, what he
did. This is evaluating your character. So if you're already...
But look at Clinton. Look at what Clinton did. There's nothing worse than what Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky.
Well, I have to say, maybe the sales of cigars skyrocketed. So that benefited some sector of the economy. Okay.
He was in office, not he was running. I mean, the thing is the same thing with his taxes right now, Trump. It's like some people don't understand taxes. I paid more taxes than he did, and he's a millionaire, supposedly. Okay, fine. But people are like, what? So they were doing interviews with these individuals who are like, you know, people that probably don't read a lot. And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter to me. How come it doesn't matter to me? This represents ethics. This represents character. You know, that's why we want the president or president nominee to show us their taxes so we know that there's no fraud, that they're not corrupting the system. I mean, how can we have somebody like that run the country?
I think going forward, it probably should be like mandated that they do that so that it's not on a voluntary basis. But I have a question for you guys. Since we're thinking out loud, like, for example, French politicians, their personal lives, I mean,
that's a good point.
They have affairs and they have mistresses.
Mistresses, yeah, yep. And it's widely known.
You know, some of them show up to like even different country things with their mistresses and so on. And okay, it's okay, because when they're running on their political prowess. I have wondered about this. Why is this not the case in America? I mean, if a person is running, first of all, the first people that come, it's like the people that these people have been intimate with or had an affair with. But does it ultimately make a difference how the president performs? He or inshallah soon, maybe a she one day. Does it make a difference? Okay, does it make a difference on what people do in their personal lives?
I don't think really it matters, but I verbally do. So when you were married, like Clinton and Hillary, but then Hillary gets backlash of why did you accept
your husband? See, that I don't understand.
You're a good woman.
I don't understand.
Like, I don't understand why you're attacking Hillary for her husband having an affair.
Someone else is having an affair.
First of all, because women are always victimized. If the husband has an affair, the woman gets blamed. Now, if she was the one to have an affair, they would have kicked her out of the house. But the idea, I think, in the US, since we still have that like religion kind of a base, knowing that you're married and having an affair, then it makes you less of, you know, your character, that you're paying money for a prostitution, for example. Maybe in Europe or in France, that is not that important. Religion is, they're not very religious. I mean, you know, they have a belief, but it's not like a base of who they are.
I don't think in America it's, you know, it comes out. I mean, obviously they're not doing it out of conviction because they're doing it. But when it's found out, and France doesn't have, for example, and I'm just using France because I've watched some programs and I remember one of the presidents, I can't recall which one, they wanted to have a state visit to India and he was taking a girlfriend and, you know, it wasn't kind of accepted there. So they have to actually come up with special provisions because in the country it wasn't acceptable for like a boyfriend, girlfriend head of state to kind of visit. I would think in America that would still not fly. Like, you know, you want to see that first family and the first dog and, you know, like.
But hold on. Let's be realistic, though. Let's be completely realistic. Maybe it's what? One out of every 10 families fit the dream family of being, you know, the two parents are together. They have normal kids. They have a normal life. Everything's going great. But what about the other 9 families out of the 10? I mean, majority of families do have issues. Relationships go through issues later on in life, especially when people get older. Agreements are made between husbands and wives all the time, and it's becoming more and more widely known. I mean, especially in Silicon Valley, you know, when they have the open marriages or open relationships. So, I mean, with all this stuff, why do we always have the pretty picture? The painted pretty picture. This is the American dream. This is the dream of the person that should lead it. But it's not true.
But this is it realistic? That this is my thing.
And it doesn't
fit. It's not realistic.
I mean, there's a womanizer right now that is the American president. He's a womanizer. He's plain and simply a womanizer who has come out and blatantly, like, destroyed the reputation of some women, disrespected them. Like, that I have more of a problem with. When someone comes out and disrespects other people.
See, for me, I have more problem with like kind of demeaning someone's position rather than, you know, doing whatever. Okay, whatever it's you're doing in your private life, you know, for example, whatever you have, it's not to condone it or to criticize it, but, you know, to each his own.
Yeah.
If you're not affecting me by it, whatever rows your boat, I don't care. But what I take issues with the people that take a derogatory tone when they want to speak to women or kind of vilify them or just kind of like call them ugly or useless, you know, because those perpetuates some of the negative stereotypes when it comes from down, you know, top down. And it just like that to me, it's a lot more bothersome than what a president or, you know, head of state does, you know, in their private time. It's not my issue, particularly if it has been out done before the office. The thing is, I think about it, does it affect my life?
Look, I mean, whatever Trump could do. But for me, I'm like, you know, Mahdi is like, I disrespect people who are sexist or homophobics or xenophobics. And, you know, I don't want somebody like that in the office because it means that he will be more judgmental. And that means that he will be.
Juliet, I got to tell you something funny. You need all these phobics because other than they're your business.
That's so true. You hit the nail right in that. That is so true.
I don't, but you know, like narcissists like Trump, they don't go to therapy because obviously, as you guys can see, he's never wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. That's why we don't work with them a lot because usually narcissists don't come to therapy anyways.
That's a great point. I want to reel this back into a little bit of a business talk mixed in with psychology. Now, I read Trump's book on marketing. It's Trump's book on marketing. That's literally what he calls it. He had the show, The Entrepreneur. He had a bunch of shows. He's done a lot of business throughout the years.
Probably plagiarized a lot, Mahdi.
Probably did. Who cares?
Check it up. Did you do some facts?
But Dr. D, this is the one psychological factor that he has played on, and he has played on millions and millions of people, and he has played it right. He has sold them dreams. He has marketed himself.
Yeah, like that university that never existed.
But he marketed himself in the perfect manner. He sold it.
Yeah.
He sold it, and people bought into it. He sold a product.
But then he just marketed.
Yeah,
it's a brand. It's like a Kardashian marketing.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
People watch the show for 12 years, watching people basically sitting on a coffee table, running around with dogs, just saying irrelevant stuff a lot of times. But then they became gazillionaires because they sold something to people.
He played on people's emotions.
And people bought it. So I think what he did successfully is that he has sold that follow this regiment and I am who I am. And you can see my names on buildings. If you follow my regiment, read my book, do what I did, so can you.
Yeah.
Okay. And for a lot of people, and especially people like, you know, some people always have the attitude, I want to get rich quick.
Yeah.
They don't want to take the step. You know, they don't want to go to school for many years. They don't want to work a lot of hours. So they're always in search of that, let me get rich quick act.
But he did it perfectly. And I think he sold a get rich quick scheme. You know, those books that they used to sell in like the early 2000s and 90s, the 30 days of real estate. I think he had like a series of get rich quick. But this takes us back to the psychological perspective, in my opinion, and from a marketer, an ex-marketer, now into HR. And I just want to state, I don't like HR. I love marketing. That was my pure passion. But Erzu.
Mahdi, we're not friends.
But Erzu, hold on. From an HR perspective, okay, if you were to evaluate Donald Trump and the job that he has done over the last 4 years, considering everything, okay, even the last 6 months, because we all know employers look at the last 6 months or the last year of what someone did, and they don't look at the cumulative picture saying, you know, raising sales over 15% over a 10-year period. They don't look at that. They'll look at the immediate past tense. How would you evaluate Donald Trump from that perspective, from a business perspective? Purely business, purely on performance.
Purely on performance. Again, I will divide it twice, like in two prongs, even for the last 6 months. In terms of economics, I still believe he did okay, you know, in terms of pushing for the stimulus and so on. Because what we need to understand is inside American politics, you know, getting Republicans to go on a spending, it's a real arm twist. So to get this stimulus to send checks to people, you know, aside from whatever it's on the news, I'm pretty sure that that wasn't an easy thing to do. But although I don't think it was nearly enough, but that got done. So he gets this package. Groups from coming into the States, this is never going to come. Notwithstanding that a lot of other people, like right now, the global travel, it's so intricate that people go from one corner to another. You know, if a person is entering from Mexico, there is no guarantee that they had them into China.
Yeah.
You know, just to think that they're going to stop them. So on that, it was really bad. And on preparation, and this is not just federal, even state levels. I mean, it's just like people were acting like getting a virus. It's the first thing they've ever encountered ever. They had shortage of everything, given though we had heads up. I mean, you know, people can say whatever they want. We did have heads up. People were getting sick and dying on Italian TV, on Spanish TV, on Chinese TV. You could see these people just passing out outside of the hospital, indicating that this is not a fun thing to do. And then the second thing, the one, okay, let's just say below expectation for this, but what is very, very below expectation, it's that politicization of COVID. That was the biggest mistake. And I think, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, do not have critical thinking skills. A lot of people are followed.
100%, yeah.
And they do follow with conviction. They do follow based on ideology, not logic. And a lot of people then buy into this that, oh, this is not real. Wearing a mask, they just want to like stamp us, or we're going to like, they're going to take away my freedom. You know, just put a mask on. Even in the pandemic of 1917 and 18 for the Spanish flu, it is evidenced by pictures that people put on a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, you think we'd be a little bit more sophisticated than that. And then, you know, it just, what's bothersome to me, it's like, look at some of the countries and how they had a fast turnaround because they just followed the advice that the American doctors were giving. This is what is mind-boggling to me. Like when you have access to the best and the brightest in the universe, and then you don't follow it because of politics, that to me, it's like, thing, X factor, you know, you're X stat.
You know, whenever people start making comments about him and he's trying and it's not his fault or whatever, the idea is that I feel like it's true. People don't really, they either don't study, they don't read well, they just want to believe in this. I mean, like just 2 days ago, I swear, how many more cousins I can block? I don't know. But it's like the idea is that
you're going to have no family members.
I mean, I have no family because I don't want to talk about politics at all because it's the idea is that, well, he's a businessman and it's the same ideology. Like he's business and he's going to make us rich. Why does everyone think that? I mean, he was there for 4 years. Yes, it helped a little bit of our stock market, but the rich became richer. You know, the middle class, okay, he gave you a tax relief and then that's it. It doesn't mean that he's really, I mean, I don't know where people get that idea. Like people don't want to study.
Well, people, people look at, you know, they don't look at matrices and indicators that understand what's happening. So
maybe they don't have the critical thinking.
That's
right. Why
we have very poor, because I don't know if the schools are not focusing on it, but our critical thinking skills just in general, just is not very high. I mean, if a politician says something, and regardless of what party affiliation you have, for me, I'm a ping pong party. You know, I go from one party to another, depending on the what I find necessary for that term. But, you know, some people don't think. They just say, oh, my God, someone said it. It must be. Let's just follow through.
You know, they don't analyze anything.
They go to a crowded place without a mask, which I think is just like, dude, what are you trying to prove? That you have no brain?
And now he has to suffer the consequences of having, exactly. And but the idea is that putting everyone at risk.
Protect yourself. This is the cheapest, most cost-effective, the easiest thing to mitigate the virus. Cover your mouth. That's it.
Yep.
So in terms of that, for the past 6 months, is mixed review with a negative tilt, Matthew.
All right. So basically, if we evaluate him on four factors, national policy, international policy, or foreign policy, crisis management, all right, and then the economics. The only one he gets, say, a 10 out of 10 is economics, and the rest, you're basically giving him like a 4 out of 10, if that.
Right, but for a lot of people, a lot of Americans.
For the past 6 months, yeah, I would just put it about 4 or 5 out of 10.
All right, so in general, if you were to rate him out of 10, you'd give him a 5.
Yeah.
or a 4? Because the economics did serve.
For the mask, I will give him a 3.
Okay.
For the other ones, I will give him a 5.
All right. So let's say his average is 4 out of 10. Dr. D, what is your what's your evaluation there?
No, it's true. You know, the only thing that I would like, he was giving himself an A+ in how he handled coronavirus. I'm thinking if you were in my class, you'd get an F- if there is a minus with an F. Because the idea is that you haven't been able to do, you would fail my classes because, again, but the thing is, you think about it, like when they're interviewing these Americans, you know, the average Joe, and they're like, well, we don't care. He's done really well for my funds, for example. But the idea is that, so everyone looks at it as an economical. They're not really looking at it. I want to live to be able to enjoy the money.
But this is what I'm saying. Had Corona not happened,
as
I
people
will
still
you,
vote
like
for him. They will not think about all the
he would have gotten more votes than he did previously, because when people are well off, they don't want to change
right.
it. Okay.
And for me,
he says becomes a sideshow. That's like a sideshow that you have. It's like if you have a noisy mother-in-law, but you live in her mansion and you get to have your friends over every weekend next to the pool, you know, you filter her out.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
This is her house. Put her in the room, lock the door, and let her like say what she wants. But because of Corona, like his ratings, because before he was the economy president, you know, the stock markets, we have to say he presided over, you know, several record-breaking stock rises. And
the Dow Jones took off when he became president. The Dow Jones was at about 18,000. Now it's at around 25,000.
Yes. And I don't understand.
And you know, right now it dropped just because he has Corona. What is the secret
here?
Because
it's
scary. I don't get it.
No. Look, it's
today
the uncertainty
it dropped,
of it.
Big time.
Well, it's not like a mass secret. It's just like the market doesn't like uncertainty.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's scaring for me, like regardless of like policy agreement or whatever, you never want to think that the president that is running your country is at a vulnerable life and death position.
Right.
And that his second in command, who also is of an advanced age, also have been exposed. And he's going to have to weekly test. I mean, that becomes like a frightening thought in terms of uncertainty.
The whole government will be sick.
You know, it's just scary. And nobody, like, regardless of what you think of his performance, no one wants that ever.
That's true. And it's unpredictable and uncertainty. And now we don't know who's going to do, even though they're saying that he has mild symptoms. So, I mean, he could have, you know, Corona and have survived it. I mean, lots of people have. And
a lot of people
have died,
will.
So.
But, you know, the uncertainty remains. Hopefully, like, he's well. But what problem his press secretary and like people who speak for him have is that they add to the obscurity. Usually when people talk, it's to make people feel better and more informed. When they talk, you're more confused. And
yeah.
like, they're like, I can't tell you. Like,
yeah,
you have
because
kids,
they don't, they're scared.
You have kids, right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
If your kids keep telling you, if you ask him something, if they just tell you nonchalantly what happened, you'll be like, okay, all right. If they keep telling you, I can't tell you. Oh, I can't tell you. Don't ask me that. What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, you've done something. I got to get to the bottom of it. You know?
I deal with it with my son all the time. He's like, I got hurt. How'd you get hurt? I'm not sure. And I'm like, dude, you did something you should not have done. Just tell me the truth. So I get what you're saying. Look,
yeah.
Trump in general, like, I think he did a great job with selling the economy and selling the dream of that he built it up. He did an amazing job. I think he's probably one of the best salesmen and marketeers of our generation for being able to sell the fact.
Because he's a narcissist. Narcissists sell well. People like them.
But Dr. D, he told...
He wrote a book on how to be rich under other people. This is what I'm saying is that it's true. People think he's rich, but he's not.
But he might be. I mean, the dude's really smart. Obviously, he hasn't paid taxes in 20 years, so he's gotten away with quite a bit. You know, I mean...
Yes. But does that make him smart? Does that make him fraudulent?
He might... No, but he might be smart to avoid it, though. Like, you got to give him credit for that. And
look, I got it. Of all this, smart or fraudulent, what I'm looking for is who was his tax lawyer, because I
want to go to him.
You know, it's just like in every piece of news, there's an opportunity. I want to know who did his taxes, because
I'm definitely
don't think Trump was the genius.
All the money I spent on my hair and all because I'm on TV a lot, I am going to deduct it. I never even knew you could do that. Yes, you're right. He's smart. He knows how to scam the system. I understand that. But is that but make you, know you a quality of a person?
I actually want to write off my hair now.
Yeah, I'm going to write it up.
Is it scamming the system or playing the system? Is it scamming or playing? I think
no,
there's two.
Scamming,
if someone
Jimmy.
Plays the system and they get around the gray area that is in every system and they do it really well, to me, that's he played the system.
That's fine. If he played the system and it was valid, why hasn't he released his income taxes?
He never will.
For the last
I want
to.
I want
why?
To.
Do you know why? Because
though.
He doesn't want people to know that he was scamming.
If okay, I want to say something, though. I have an issue not with him and his taxes. I do have an issue with the system that allows such loopholes.
100%. Yeah. That's a good point.
If an average senior citizen, for example, with like Medicare income, is paying $4,000 and they can't write off their prescription, what is the tax code that we have as a system that allows the write-off for hair?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I didn't even
like,
know you could do that.
What we need, is like a
wait,
yeah,
that is awesome that you guys can write off your hair, but you can't write off your prescription medication.
Yes,
that is unbelievable.
Yes.
No, like,
that's absolutely unreal.
This is like, you know, you have a cap on how much medication you can. I know because my mom has a lot of pre-existing conditions like glaucoma, hypertension, and what you may call it. And like, she has a cap of $500 for a write-off.
Oh, wow. That's nothing.
Spending
that's like, that's absolutely nothing. Like, you spend so much on
it. Is. It's like, you know, if you look at it, it's like less than 200 KD, okay? Out of like a lot of money that she spends out of pocket after insurance. So the problem would not be how effective is he to get around. You know, I'm not a psychologist, but I say that anytime you allow the system of self-courtesy, there are always going to be those that are not going to be the, you know, take the courteous route out.
Yeah, it's true.
But every political system, majority of the political systems globally, I mean, are atrociously bad and play in the favor of the rich and destroy the weak. I mean, all of them because they are run by the rich. I mean, you have to look at some of the smallest things. I'll give you a very small example. Here in Kuwait, one family ran the whole sports thing for one sport. How in any right mind would you allow an entire family to be the board members of one sport and, you know, have control of that sport and none of them have any experience in that sport itself? And, you know, everyone knows, like, I play baseball and I've been around it. And it's that sport. And I challenge anyone on that baseball board to come and talk to me about baseball because they don't know. They've never played before and they have no clue. But because of their political connections, they were able to find the loopholes. They were able to use their, you know, their waslas, so to speak, so that they would get majority share and that they would control one sport and benefit from it, however it may be. Which is disgusting. And that is globally. That is all over the world, including in the United States. The rich don't pay anywhere near as much as my buddy that, you know, is a carpenter.
I was reading the Wall Street, I don't know if it was Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, or Forbes. It was one of the financial magazines. And they were saying that, was it Amazon? Amazon, with the amount of write-offs they had, they didn't have to pay taxes. And just, you know, if you look at it, I alone spend like maybe $10,000 in Amazon a year. Just from yesterday to today, between my mom, my brother, and my daughter, who is now in the States, I have spent like $300 on Amazon just yesterday. Okay. So that said, if Amazon is a multi-trillion dollar company now, it's not even $1 billion. If they're not paying taxes and my 70-year-old dad is, and because they're saying that you're getting like a kind of discount on your prescription drug, so you have to pay it at the end of the year. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the tax code. It's not the person that's writing it off, because if people like Trump or Amazon or whatever are writing it off, it's the system enabling them to do so. So the system cannot come and complain, because this is a problem I have. Like, each party blames the other party, but they come, take place, and they don't do anything about the tax code. Because, you know, they're all lobbied by the rich people. So nothing really changes in that regard. Jeff Bezos, for example, it's probably given a lot to the political things. Are they going to go tell him to pay more taxes? No. But my dad, Sam, they can tell Sam to pay more taxes. Who is he going to contribute to? Nobody.
That's what it is. It's like the rich people trying to keep it under their control. And it's the same thing as like, you know, why did Trump get away with a lot of things? Well, a lot of these rich people is because they've got other rich people supporting them. So
now I'm going to play the role of the teacher. I'm going to play the role of the teacher. So what was the moral of the story today, both of you?
The moral of the story? Believe in Trump, baby. Believe in the American dream. God bless America.
Never trust narcissists.
The moral of the story is if you don't want to get screwed, get rich.
Exactly. No, that's true. No, you're 100% right. And that's sad, dude. That is really sad because you see it. I mean, it just sucks in America. I have buddies that are carpenters and they bust their asses off. You know, they bust their backsides off working 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. and they still have to pay so much in taxes. And on the flip side, I have a friend who's a small business owner in the United States and he gets more tax breaks than my other buddy. I can't fathom how both of them make an average of the same per hour.
I have a company in the U.S. and based on the new tax system that they passed, I owed no taxes, just so that, you know, for the purpose of full disclosure, I absolutely owed no taxes. And I have to say, I wasn't sad about it that I didn't owe taxes because,
exactly,
you know, it wasn't that like I was sitting and say, please tax me, please, Mr. Man, you know,
yeah.
I was quite pleased. And because I get to keep some money on the side, but like for my family who don't have that, well, they're paying hefty taxes, like, compared to their income. And it's not fair because I probably could afford the taxes more. I don't want to pay it, but you know,
but yeah, no, exactly.
Like I tell my patients, life is not fair. So we're just going to have to make the best of it. So the idea is that do we like him? Is he a scamming? Is he not scamming? Like I've been so obsessed with media. Now I'm realizing like, what the hell? It's not going to make any difference. Only thing I could do is just vote him out and see what happens. But
you brought up a key point right there. Media. Media, media, media is the key factor in all of this. The media has played on the emotions of you guys, and I say you as the Americans, has played on the emotions of the Americans over the last year. And you guys,
suckers,
like, no
right.
offense, like, they it's buy true. Into it so easily. And you're so Americans, and I have a lot of it's American true. Friends that I grew up with, are so absent-minded towards what's
no,
going
true.
On in the rest of the world, and they're only stuck in their town or their state, if
yep,
that.
It's true.
And the manipulation of news is horrible.
You're so true. I mean, I'm not even like living in America. I am very updated to what's happening in America. And guess what? When I have a client saying to me, doctor, there's a lot of political things. Somebody said this on Twitter. I have no idea what's going on here. I just know the logical things that happen. If it's a curfew, if we have the cases passing, God rest his soul in peace. It's all of these things. This is it. Anything else? I hear it from my clients, to be honest. That tells you how ignorant I am also.
But are you though? No, in reality, are you ignorant?
I know nothing what's happening.
But hold on.
I don't know.
Is it smarter to listen to all this crap and garbage that is pushed out by the media, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, or the news channels? Or is it smarter to stay in your bubble and just listen to the big news and not give a crap about the little shit that's going on?
Maybe it is smart. I think I'm better here.
Because I'll be honest with you. I watch Fox 25 and I watch CNN. It's like watching the Yankees and the Red Sox. They're duking it out all the time, back and forth.
Yes. I don't watch Fox
it's
anymore.
It's so funny. Like, I watch
They're liars.
The same
They're liars.
Story.
Fake news.
No. I watch the same story. And God, I love the opening. Well, today we have some bad news for you. I swear, all the time. Your life's coming to an end. But then both sides, each one is picking one side and telling it. But the message is the same. Your life's coming to an end. You're screwed. Your freedoms are going away.
100%.
This group has somebody else is going to come get you. The other group has another person is going to come and get you. The boogeyman is out there. And it's just like the headlines, you know, with the elbow change and the thing. Well, today we're going to lose all your freedom. How do you want to be like this? And how do you want, like, it's frightening. And then I'm very good at like silencing BS. And like when they're done talking, they absolutely said nothing.
Yeah.
There was no news. So I don't know why it's called the news network when all they do kind of pontificate. They're kind of doing what we're doing, but actually selling it to people as news.
Yeah, exactly. And we're the suckers that's sitting like 1 and 2 in the morning reading one video after one video, trying to, and then now I don't, but you're right. I mean, here in the politics here, I feel safe because I don't know anything. So when somebody comes to me and...
You're better off, trust me. You're way better off knowing the politics. No.
But you know what?
I know nothing.
The politics here is an absolute joke. I mean...
But then when I have a client who's distressed about something and I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, doc, you didn't hear this. There was a big news about this. And I'm like, no. And then I feel like an idiot. And I'm like, am I supposed to know? I don't really know. I don't know anything right now. I'm very busy because of the election. I think after the election, I have made a commitment. I mean, after the election, after we declare, I am not going to watch the news. It is really, really stressing me out.
And you're right. And you know what my mother says to me? My mother goes, how can you not watch the news? You don't know what's going on. My mother and father both. What, you don't know what's going on in the world? I said, yeah, I do. There's war. There's people dying. You know, there's financial distress. There's the coronavirus. I said, I know exactly what's going on. Tell me something new. When you tell me aliens are on their way to Earth, I'll be happy. All right.
Guys, I hadn't watched the news for about a month and a half, like the TV news. I hadn't watched it. So I put it on the other day. I swear it was like 4 days ago. Exactly. So I put it on. Oh, 250,000 people died. Oops. I put it on just for the debate. Okay. The debate is a disaster. And like I'm reading in the bomb, so-and-so went to war, Armenia is doing this, Azerbaijan is doing this. And I was like, good God, what's happening? Everybody is just poking someone else. Yep. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Dr. D, why do you think people are so socially susceptible to bad media and getting engulfed in it like no other? I mean, I know my mother, I love her to death. And she watches the news like, I mean, she's half asleep watching the news. You know, she's that type of person. During the Gulf War, she had tape after tape of just like broadcasting from CNN. And like, we're talking suitcases full of tape. And it's like, what's the point? I don't understand how some people can be so susceptible to that fake image that is sold on the media.
I think it's because, you know, the media does play a big role on our fear. And for human beings, we want to feel like we are in control of something. And so they play on this fear that makes us feel we're not able to control anything. So we want to watch more and more to see where I can control things. And the idea is that this is why the news, I mean, it's so interesting because I always tell people, don't watch the news. You know, half an hour, like when I was living in the States, I stopped watching the news because I realized half an hour of it, I just heard who killed who and who did this, especially like in Chicago. And then people here have an idea, wow, you're from Chicago. There's a lot of killing where I live. I didn't know there was killing. Even when they were protesting just recently, you know, after the Black Lives Matter, when there was little protesting, I was like, I'd call my family. Oh my God, there's a protest downtown. They're like, what are you talking about? There's nothing. So it could be a small thing, but it's exaggerated because
it's exaggerated. Everything is exaggerated.
The more you're afraid, the more you want to watch, because the more you're trying to find a way to be able to control, you know, what's going to happen. This is what's happening to me. It's like,
my mom, like it was showing, Las Vegas, downtown Vegas protests. And my mom was like driving by there because she went to Walker Furniture. And like, she's showing me, she's like, there were 10 people there on the sidewalk. My mom is like, I didn't even know. No, because she was like, they have like a recliner and like the back broke and it has a warranty. So my mom being my mom, she has to go and fight for the recliner that she never sits on. Anyhow. And she hates it when my dad does, by the way. So she had to go. She went downtown, sat there, did her thing, and drove by. Didn't even know there was a protest. And me here freaking out. Mom, how could you go inside a protest? She's like, what protest? Mom, they were showing in Vegas. My mom's like, yeah, there were like 10, 15 people on the sidewalk, but I didn't even know what they were doing. You know, my mom's a senior.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But like, she's
that
like,
tells you. But that tells you, you know, but this is what sells. Arzu, this is what sells. If they showed 10 people, no one would watch the news. And they make their money out of subscribing to. I mean, it was so interesting. Like now that
it's
I like watch a lot of YouTube,
you know,
subscribe to this if you want to hear this. So do you know how many people are subscribing for $1, $2? Because the money is not that much when they're showing it to you. Many people are subscribing. This is how you make your money. And it's quick. They can get their news out there, make you more afraid, watch more of them. And then this is it. And ultimately, you're not in control of anything. And then you're scared more and more. So I need to stop watching the news. And I think you guys all need to stop. And let's just do what the things that I can do, which is I'll vote. And that's it, to be honest. So that's it.
I totally agree on that point. And I think that is a perfect wrap up for the night. I think Arzu and Dr. D, I truly feel bad for you guys and your upcoming president to be, because I still think Donald Trump will win the election.
No.
I think he is. Look, the American people screwed it up when they voted Bernie Sanders out. I don't care what anybody says. In my opinion, I liked Bernie. I was a huge fan of Bernie.
I didn't agree. You know, my daughters were too, but I mean, I don't agree with a lot of Bernie's policies, because although he has grandiose ideas about paying and giving a lot of stuff to a lot of people. I mean, you know, the math of it just didn't add up. Where are you getting the money, dude? You know, I also want to play Robin Hood and give a lot of stuff to other people, but where are you getting the money from?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's why. But, you know, I hope it gets better.
Well, we just have to wait and see. You began with the song and we're going to end it with the song. Que sera, sera, whatever will be.
No, you gotta do it in the voice. You got to do it in the voice.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be. Exactly.
Oh, God. All right.
We're going to have to break out some Lionel Richie next time we're on the show.
You know, I'm very known for having a bad voice. Hello, so sorry to expose you to that.
Oh, that's great. Oh, it's always good having you on, okay. Arzu. Thank you so much for jumping back on.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Matthew. Thanks, Juliet. Bye.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.